The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O God.
Now on that same day that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus said to them, "What is it that you are discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" Jesus asked, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in works and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned and crucified him. But we thought that he would be the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They went to the tomb early this morning, and when they could not find his body there, they ran back to us and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and they saw it just as the woman had said. But they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they near the city to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. And they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. The night is almost over, and the day is now nearly complete." So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. They could recognize who he was, and then he vanished. They said to each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us as he was talking with us on the road, opening up all the scriptures to us?" That very hour they got up, they went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions. They were all gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told him all that happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. It's you, O Christ. I was about ready to say, please be seated, but I'll skip that. Actually, I already said it. Anyway, grace, mercy, and peace to you. I'm going to ask any of the children to pay attention at this point if they haven't already. I'm sure they are because they're all good kids. For a children's message, I'm looking at the monitor up here just to see if I can see any of their faces come up, but wanted to say Have you ever been with a baby and wanted to play that game peekaboo? It's a fun little game. Do you remember maybe playing it with an infant, a baby, or maybe someone playing it with you? I mean, the whole premise is you cover your face like this and you go, peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. And then what happens? Hopefully, the baby smiles, maybe gives it a little chuckle. And that's the whole reason we play that game, right? Because there's this interaction between the person playing peekaboo and the other person receiving that. As we play that game with one another, this exchange of happiness, of joy, of smiling, of exchanging something we have in common as far as just a new surprise. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus wasn't playing a game, but more or less the experience between the disciples and Jesus was the same thing. There was joy in realizing that Jesus was still with them. It's the joy that we experience when we see our friends we haven't seen for a long time, whether it's through a Zoom meeting or maybe a possibility of meeting them in person. It's what we anticipate when we are to be able to go back to school and play with our friends again, to see them face to face. It is the promise that God will always be there in a joyful moment that we can share. So let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for making yourself known to us, whether playing a game or in a smile. Help us to look forward to smiling with our friends and laughing and joking with them as we play. Thank you for that joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord, our Creator. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed this message this morning. Well, I've been working on it all week, of course. It struck me that Jesus comes in a stranger. And all these things that have been developed in the story, along with all these things that are happening in our story right now. I mean, the word things shows up 7 times within 9 verses. All these things. So the title came to me, Stranger Things, because I thought Jesus was a stranger at first and all these things that we should know. And I kept on thinking, well, stranger things have happened, right? I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. This pandemic and the way we are living is mighty strange. It's taken its toll on all of us. And it's different for every generation when we say, well, stranger things have happened, because my generation, we lived through the aftermath of the Vietnam War, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Challenger explosion, 9/11, and parachute pants. But I don't remember feeling anything stranger than the effects of this pandemic. So I can't help but think, are we experiencing a little bit of what the disciples did on the road to Emmaus? I think there are similar things in the way that we are feeling. And Caroline Lewis pointed out a couple of these things on Working Preacher podcast, that we are hearing this story in a different way this year. The disciples are separated from Jesus, not sure what to do or how to do what they normally would do. We are separated from our church. We're not sure what to do or how to do what we normally would do. And I'm sure I'm totally oversimplifying things. But think about this. This line, they stood still, looking sad. How many times have you experienced that or seen that in someone else during this time? Maybe looking in the mirror at your own face. As the disciples would gather and follow Jesus, they were fed, they were taught, they would look forward to the future, the next day, and this new life that Jesus promised. They would look forward to the next time they would meet and get a glimpse of this mercy and love, grace that Christ provided to all people. And with the death of Jesus, that type of relationship, that type of worship seemed to be slipping through their fingers, and they were not able to control it or figure out where or how they could see, recognize Jesus. As we gather in person in our church home prior to this pandemic on Sunday morning, we were fed with the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are fed through scripture and learning new ways of loving our neighbor and sharing the love of Christ. We build relationships with those in and outside of the church. But now that we can no longer gather in our church building, we are invited to look deeper, to see, to recognize Jesus in our lives. And when life throws us into despair, when we do not recognize Jesus in our midst, Jesus intervenes and keeps God's promise and gives us what we need. When we lack the recognition of Jesus, when we lack recognition of Jesus, it is then necessary for Jesus to intervene so that we can recognize Jesus in our midst. We live in an unusual reality right now. We don't have the normal opportunity to go to church and experience the normal church rituals of Sunday morning worship, the rituals that we count on to see Jesus in our lives. This gospel tells us about the promise of Jesus to intervene when we long for our normalcy and something familiar. Jesus intervenes to introduce us to the same love in a different way. There was a video that I saw on Facebook about this experiment, a test of human nature. A gentleman was doing this experiment by placing a car across the street from a pawn shop. He left his computer and an iPhone in the back seat of the car with the windows rolled down. He set up a camera to see what people would do if they happened to walk by and see that scenario. So enters this gentleman. We assumed him to be homeless because he's got a lot of stuff, more than likely all the stuff that he has in one bag. And he looks in the window and he sees what's in there. He walks around it, looks around at up and down the street. Next thing you know, he just sits behind the car on the curb for 55 minutes. The guy shooting the film evidently didn't know what to do. So he went up and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" The gentleman that was there stood up and said, "Are you the owner of this car?" He goes, "No, but did you see that there was a computer and iPod in there?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Dude, there's a pawn shop right across the street. All we have to do is go ahead and take that in there. I bet we could get easy $1,000 out of both of those, and it's $500 each. Why don't we do that?" The homeless guy looked at him. He goes, "I'm not so sure that's a good idea." He goes, "But dude, it's $500 easy. Pawn shop's right across the street." This homeless gentleman proceeded to tell him why that was not a good idea. Several different reasons. He said, "Hey, there's good money and there's bad money. I'd rather get my money in a good way. By taking this and stealing it, that's bad money. I don't want to do that in a bad way." He goes, "Yeah, but it's just across the street. We can just get it done really quick. Nobody will ever know." He goes, "You know, that's more than just an iPhone and a computer. Somebody's life is within those boxes. They have all their kids' pictures, all their work business, everything there. So if you take those, it's not just taking a box out of a car. It's like taking the person's whole life. Now, the guy who set up the camera finally just said, you know what? I'm so impressed with what you're saying. I am the owner of this car, and I wanted to see what would happen if we gave somebody this scenario, and you've given me new hope. And then the thing that really struck me was this gentleman who had been watching this car for 55 minutes and then talks to somebody else out of stealing the stuff out of it, looked at him and goes, you know, I really didn't have a purpose in my life until I came across this car. I knew once I was here, I could wait for the owner to come back so that all of his stuff would be intact. And that gave me purpose. And it made me think, is that why the stranger things we feel right now are going on within us? Are we confused on what our purpose is right here and right now? Because everything is turned upside down. I mean, we have kids who long to go back to school because they're not knowing what to do. There are people who can, yeah, work from home, but it's still not the same. It's still not the interaction that they normally had in a church office or any office. It's really different for those who don't have the opportunity to work right now because their business is temporarily closed. And if you think about it, if we don't have that one thing that we go, that we get up and do each morning, and if that's gone, what doesn't that put into question our purpose? The disciples were still and looking sad. Sure, they missed their teacher. Sure, things were not what they thought they should be. But they were now in a place that their purpose was questioned. What were they to do? What was the next thing? In this pandemic transition, have you questioned your purpose? If nothing else, have you at least reprogrammed how you complete your purpose? There's a great familiarity to the Emmaus story. When we get to when Jesus actually sits down at the table and breaks bread with the disciples, he took it, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. We hear these words around our sacrament of communion. But we also hear in Luke when Jesus feeds the 5,000. These are the same words when the crowds were following him and it was getting close to supper time and Jesus said, we got to feed these people. And the disciples were like, how are we going to do this? He finds the loaves and the fishes and he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looks up to the heaven and blesses and breaks them and gives them to the disciples to disperse into the crowd. That was their purpose. The disciples hear that once again as they are visiting with this stranger. They are reminded of their purpose. He asked at the feeding of the 5,000 to take the food to everyone. It's a reminder of the call of purpose that we have. A purpose and a sharing of God's love through the life and giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same purpose that we had before this pandemic, and it is the same purpose that we have now during this pandemic. The way we work in fulfilling our love to one another will look a lot different. And this is an unsettling thing. This unsettling thing is what causes us not to recognize Jesus in the normal spots that we always have seen him in the past. Because we are in new territory. Because this is of this pandemic. But this is our purpose of being little Christs, as Luther would have said it, to one another. It's the thing, out of all these things that are going on, that we are called to do as a church, no matter what form it takes in our future. Now, I personally love our church buildings. And I say that as a whole, because I haven't been here long enough to understand all the ins and outs of the building that our Savior Lutheran Church meets in. But I love the history of our buildings. I love the fact that relationships are built within these walls. I love that babies are baptized here, that children learn here and have their first communion here and are confirmed here, and people grow in their faith, and couples are married and funerals are held, and the cycle continues over and over again. We are the body of Christ to one another within these walls. But just as Jesus shows up to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he reminds them, God is still with them. God is still with us. God is revealed every day, even when we are walking away from the things we are called to. And God's mission will continue in a way without the physical Jesus or the physical buildings in which we worship. Jesus shows up to us in this pandemic, reminding us God is still with us, and God's mission will continue in a way without our physical buildings. We will return to our buildings. And what a joyous reunion that will be. But we cannot forget the ways that we are creating our purpose and showing the love of Jesus Christ through many different avenues right now, because they are growing. Those talents are growing, as well as sharing the love of Christ is growing in new and creative ways that we never dreamed of before, because we never had to before. But now that we have to, it's opening so many new doors for that purpose to be exclaimed. We live the gospel each and every day that possesses our Lord Jesus Christ when we share that love of God. When we are looking sad, when we're not sure where to go next, it is God's promise to intervene so that we may see the love of Christ in everywhere we go. Amen.